It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Absolutely no mailing it in this afternoon. We have to bring the heat. We have to bring the energy. We're live downtown. We're at the Royal York.
How was the commute for you?
I took the train down. It was quite the experience.
Did anybody try to take a selfie with you and you gave them the hand?
I actually did get the one guy. I was getting dropped off at the station and I was walking in and he saw me walk by. And then I walked back the other way, and he stopped me and said, "No more Uber?" I said, "No guy."
No guy. Wow.
So what did you get the train from Whitby down to here?
Yeah. I'm a go train kind of guy.
Do you know that would take like an hour and a half, didn't it?
No, it doesn't take that long.
Well, that pulls you right up front in front of this hotel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Union. So right across the street, it was perfect. You want to see a guy desperately try to catch a train on the way out, though.
Yeah.
I think the one heading back home is at like 7:07. So
you're
I've got
not making that.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
You're making that.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
The way you're walking right now, no way.
Yeah, but somebody can give you the fireman's carry and get you there close. And then you can stumble in from there. You got to get on that one.
I have to get on it.
That's a must.
Yeah.
We have to talk to Mulls. Maybe he has to leave a segment early. Maybe we can finish the show.
We can do that.
Jeff O'Neill and Jamie McLennan.
You leave at 6:45 and we'll finish this baby up.
Okay, we'll talk about that because
We'll negotiate.
We're going to have a lot of people join us this afternoon, and I think Pinball's coming in around 6:40.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't really want to miss Pinball. Like,
no,
I'm willing to miss a train in order to have a conversation with Pinball.
Fair
but
enough.
You can't miss the train. It's the last one.
No, it's not.
Oh, when's the next one?
Well, I don't know. It could
probably be like 8.
Yeah, like half an hour later or something. I don't know. So I'm hoping that I'm not in that situation where I don't have to worry about the next train. But
could be worse. You can be stuck in traffic like I will be.
Well, and that's why I took it. I mean, I grew up in the city. I had never been on the GO train, like ever, until I was probably 25, 26. Like growing up, there's no reason to ever be on it.
Never, but have you been on those like people movers when you've been drunk, like walking around downtown?
Well, the TTC I've been on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's different. That's local. That's a municipal transit system. But the GO gets you out to the GTA in different spots. And okay. As a Toronto kid, I mean, I had never been on the GO, but now I'm a supporter. There's no one ever on them. They just
really?
Keep bombing back and forth. I had my legs up whole nine.
What, like legs up, like on the seat?
It depends where you're coming from, dude. There's ones, I used to come from Etobicoke into the city. It's pretty busy stuff.
I can imagine. If you're in Mississauga, and there, I know people that live in Mississauga and work downtown Toronto, that GO train guaranteed at 7:30 or 8 a.m.?
Gong show.
Hell on earth. Costco at noon on a Saturday times
when
a million.
When I lived in Japan, we went into Tokyo one time, and have you ever seen the people movers there where they have people that actually push people into the cars?
Have you seen like the trains in India?
No.
Where these cats are like hanging off the back. They're not even in the bus. Like they're not even inside the train.
I'm not doing that. I tried to take the subway in New York City last year. I just said I'm not getting in there.
No, so, it's crazy.
I went right back out and onto the street and took a cab.
It is a gong show.
Yeah, so anyway, the Uber is behind me. I am taking the train. It's going to be busy down here tonight. We're looking forward to it. Again, we're live at the Royal York Hotel at the Special Olympics Limitless Gala. Rod Black is going to be co-emceeing tonight with Hedge.
Legend.
And he's going to join us around the table in about 15, 20 minutes. He's also calling the Argos Rough Riders game on Sunday. So we'll tee up the game with him, tee up the gala with him. Did you guys see that Babcock said today at practice before boarding the flight to Montreal, he will be there on Sunday, and I respect this move. He's wearing a Rough Riders jersey.
Well, he's from Saskatchewan.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. I hate when people shill for the local market. You are not an Argos fan. You're a Riders fan. Yeah, I like it. Just because you're the head coach of the Maple Leafs doesn't mean you have to pretend as if you're all of a sudden an Argo fan.
I'm fine with that.
I like this move. I fully support that move.
I'm fine
with that. That means he's a real sports fan.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
he's going to get the gears, though. People are going to. But he doesn't care.
He's going to be in a box somewhere. You think he's sitting in the seats? I can't imagine Babcock is section 25. Like,
what if he was, though? What if he was right in the middle?
I
just
saw him at a TFC
with his buddies.
I saw him at a TFC game with Larry Tannenbaum.
Yeah, exactly. Larry Tannenbaum. The guy owns the building. He owns the team.
Not Larry somebody else from Meadow Lakes.
Larry the cable guy.
Exactly.
I would like to see that. I'll tell you what, if the Leafs get a win tomorrow night, that'll be six in a row. He deserves to tailgate. He deserves to party.
Yep.
If they win tomorrow night in regulation, they will go 10 points up on the Montreal Canadiens. 10 points up through 2021 games. And the Habs lost at home to Arizona.
You know, it's funny. Before the game, I was looking at the schedule of the night, and I called the game last night with Gord Miller. And Gord said, well, Montreal's playing the Washington Generals, because that's what they have been. They've been the Washington Generals, just handing away points, making it look good. And I was tracking the scores, 2-0 early. I actually went back and watched a good chunk of that game last night because I wanted to see what the hell went on. It was almost like Montreal, and they do not deserve to ever think this the way that their season has started. They got up 2-0. They're like, yeah, this is point night.
Oh, that's exactly what happened.
And then Arizona just kept chipping away, chipping away.
We have to try to get the audio of Tony.
I heard that he had a meltdown.
We have to try to
hear it. But I mean, it's Don LaGreca type of...
You're talking about Tony Marinaro from TSN in Montreal.
Yeah, it's Joe Plisarczyk type of...
Well, understandably so. Like, Arizona's in town on Monday. I don't care if the Leafs win tomorrow night, spank the Habs. You have to win Arizona at home.
The Leafs aren't losing that game.
I don't see that either. Arizona is the biggest debacle in pro sports. Them and the Browns, and we've talked about that a lot recently. But it is the ultimate disrespect when, if you lose, regardless of context, your coach is going to have an absolute meltdown, like nuclear. And that's exactly what happened with Julian postgame. All the players said the same thing.
They have to throw out the no disrespect to Arizona.
They always start
that
way.
No, it is.
I just want to begin by saying no disrespect to that garbage team over there.
I love that one. They are an NHL team. They are NHL players.
Yeah.
You got to work in this league every... Well, you're supposed to beat them.
Right. You have to beat them.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have to
They haven't won a game in regulation.
Well, they just did last night. Yeah. So the Habs lost in regulation, so people are freaking out. And I guess you could look at the fact that Price wasn't a part of it. Maybe if Carey's playing and he's on, it doesn't matter what's happening. They win that game. But he won't be playing tomorrow night.
Sorry to interrupt you. In defense of that, Lindgren, who's played very well, was no good last night. And that's, you know, you need a night like that. It's not a throwaway for him because he's played very well. But Arizona needed a night where they played a third string goaltender and snuck one out, and that's what happened.
Well, in the history between the Habs and the Leafs up until a few weeks ago where Toronto got one in overtime, we all know the history. They had lost 14 in a row, and Carey Price had their number.
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about that tomorrow night. And we don't know if Matthews is going to be playing. He skated again today. By all accounts, he's getting better each day.
Yeah.
Last night, that Devils team played really well. I mean,
they're a good team.
They've outplayed the Leafs twice now at the ACC, and Freddie Anderson, that's the best game he's played all year.
Best game he's played as a Leaf.
Probably.
That was unreal.
He was spectacular last night. And the trends, year over year, are almost scary.
Like October slow, and then
he's an absolute disaster, and then November, he goes into Vezina mode. And I guess you have to expect that this time next year. But if the trends are actually legit, and you can bank on him, that's a good thing, because when they get to the playoffs, he performed really well in the playoffs.
Well, that's what I was going to say. His best game as a Leaf, for sure, but I actually thought game six against Washington, I know they lost it, I thought he was brilliant that night. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, on bigger stage.
Bigger
right?
stage.
So more important.
More at stake, but he was outstanding last night. You can tell he's starting to settle into his game. Never picking apart a win, but their defensive zone still, you know, you're. I watched Pittsburgh play live last night, and they've played 14 road games. They are, I mean, they've won two cups in a row. They're legit. Like, they are, I don't see the Leafs there yet, but the talent kind of, you see high-end talent on the Leafs. I watched it last night with Pittsburgh. The back end, it's weird because, yeah, Letang, I don't know. Can Riley be somewhat of like a Letang?
I'll tell you what, he's looking like it. Like, he's, I thought he played well again last
exceptional
night. He's got 17 points in 20 games.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's never going to be, you know, Darian Hatcher or Chris Pronger or Scott Stevens in terms of a defensive shutdown guy.
Right, right.
But he can lean towards the way Letang is effective, the way Carlson is effective, a guy like Burns, where they are so good with the puck and they can use their pace and skill set to avoid having to defend.
Right.
Because when they're on the ice, they're moving the puck up ice. And that's exactly what Morgan Riley did again last night. He's playing really, really well. He's been absolutely their best defenseman. I mean, that's not even up for debate.
No.
He's so far and away their best defenseman right now. And I think this is what we've been waiting for, is that offensive breakthrough, because he's got that skill set.
One of the things I can't figure out is, can Jake Gardner or Morgan Riley not play like 10 seconds of a penalty kill? Can they not?
Well, you guys showed that board last night. Hainsey is playing more. He has more time on the PK.
Okay, so what the hell is that guy? Well, what is he going to be like in January and February, let alone the playoffs?
It's the one inconsistency.
This guy's 36 years old. You want him to play 2 minutes every penalty kill?
It's the one inconsistency from Babcock.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
You know what it is, though? And I think this is where Mike will walk back on his allegiance a little bit. I think he thought that Roman Polak was going to pull into shape a little bit.
Okay, so Jamie, what the hell is he doing? Is he sending a message up to Lou saying, get me another guy, or else I'm just going to keep playing the same two guys? That's what it seems like he's doing. There is no reasoning to play the same two guys for the whole penalty kill.
I agree with you. I don't think he envisions a guy like Jake Gardner on the penalty kill. I can envision Morgan Riley on the penalty kill because he's a great skater. Both of them are great skaters. Actually, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think Morgan has a little bit more responsibility to his game, and I don't know if he wants to put him in that situation.
Well, if that's the case, then Borgman has to start killing penalties at some point.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie, and I understand why you wouldn't trust him, but at some point you have to, because he has been so consistent with his minutes distribution over the past 3 years.
Right.
He does it better than anyone else in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth line plays over 10 minutes every single night. Certain guys playing certain roles every single night.
Right.
And this is the one inconsistency where you look at it and you're like, wait a minute, this is strange. Like, he has played, I think you guys showed a board last night, like more than 20 minutes on the PK than anyone else in the league. That is 10 full 2 minute penalties. He has played
another stat
10 minors more than anyone else.
Somebody played 70% of the kill last year, which led the league by a lot, and I think Hainsey's at 93 or something.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, what?
Well, something's got to give, but let's be honest here.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was like a Chara or somebody like that. I didn't see your board last night, but it wouldn't surprise me if 70% of the kill was a defenseman like a Chara who can eat 2 minutes just by being, you know, elite physically and the long reach.
And being economical
exactly.
With his movement. He stays in the right spot.
Yeah.
But this is a positive Friday. I mean, they've won 5 in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
And 4 in a row without Matthews in the lineup. And that is the biggest shock of the season so far.
I was shocked when I saw he wasn't playing.
Well, the fact that he didn't play. But I would say this. You know, it's early, so it's not like there's a ton of sample size.
Right.
But when they came back from California, it was borderline panic mode. Like, they were playing very poorly. They had lost 5 of 6 in regulation, and a lot of them were not close.
Right.
Like, they were awful. And then since then, they've run off 5 in a row, 4 without Matthews. If you had have told me that, if you play that game, going back to that game against Vegas on the Monday night when they came home,
right,
they're going to run off the next 5, and Matthews isn't going to play in 4 of them, I'd say no chance.
No,
I'd say absolutely no chance.
I don't think anybody saw that, but it speaks to what we've been talking about all season long. They've got depth. They've got guys that can step up. I still think, like, again, this isn't anything new. I think there's a guy missing on the back end that can really, really round out this team. And you got me thinking the other day when you're saying, and, you know, JVR at 6 years or 7 years at $6 million a year, or a guy like John Carlson? And where would John Carlson fit in the Leafs lineup? What he would do is push Zaitsev down.
I'll tell you what, that Washington team, they got to figure out what they're going to do. They're not good.
They're not, and they're not playing very well. I feel like that's a team that people are just going to forget about, and they'll end up there in the playoffs, and maybe they get hot, or maybe the time has passed. But it's for me, they're Anaheim and San Jose for the team I've been choosing the last couple years. So I don't care what they do in the regular season. I think they'll make the playoffs. I'm pretty certain they will. But regular season Washington, we've seen that ticket before.
Yeah, there's a LeBron James element to it. I'm with you. I think they'll get there as well. But everyone in the hockey world says the exact same thing. U.S. Thanksgiving, that's when we know what we've got. Well, guess what is next Thursday? Guess what is less than a week away?
Yeah.
U.S. Thanksgiving. So,
and before that, the best bar night.
On the Wednesday night.
Oh, my God. We're going to do a segment.
We're going to celebrate that next Wednesday.
Yeah.
But at some point over the next week, someone is going to go up to Barry Trotz and say, what do you make of this deadline? Explain to me why this isn't who you really are.
Right, dude, right. Oliver Ekman-Larsson had the nerve to say to somebody, I know the results aren't. This is what they all say. I know the results aren't there, but we are starting to turn a corner. But
they're irrelevant. Arizona's done.
But that's what they'll do in sports. They'll just say, you know what, if you look at our team, there was about five games where we could have.
But that's what set Don LaGreca off. Wasn't it an analytics guy said to him, like, Giants look pretty good.
I talked to somebody yesterday, Jamie, that has told me that an NHL team has actually said, if you look at our stats and numbers, we had ourselves down for six wins, but there was actually zero. That's what they said.
That happens.
Are you high?
That happens. Dude, that happens.
Sorry, can't say that in the gala area.
Let's be careful here.
Let's be careful with our language here.
But that does happen all the time. Like, after a series is over, the other team's moving on. The other guys are teeing off.
Yeah, it's really hard to figure out what team I'm talking about. But they said, we had our analytics at six wins, and we were at zero.
Yeah, I think we figured that out. But
the hell?
In terms of that U.S. Thanksgiving, like the sales pitch, there are two teams in the West that are on opposite sides of it. And one of them's Edmonton, and they lost again last night at home.
Yeah.
Someone's going to go up to Todd McClellan and say, explain to me why you're the real deal. Because you don't look like it. Yeah. They're not getting unlucky. They're just not playing well. And the other side of that is Vegas. Explain to me why you're going to fall off. Because I keep saying, and I still believe it, if I'm putting money down on it, Edmonton will figure it out and get in, and Vegas will fade.
But Vegas
won again last night, Noodles.
But
they keep winning games.
You know why?
And Fleury's nowhere to be found.
Neither is Malcolm Subban. I don't even know who else they have. But it doesn't matter.
They sent the kid Dylan Ferguson back today, I think, or yesterday. So it was Maxim Lagasse that played last night.
And he won.
He won. The one thing you can say that I still believe that Vegas won't be there. They're not a playoff team. They just, I bet money on it now.
I'm with you, Noodles, but my point is.
You're right.
Everyone says in October and November, U.S. Thanksgiving.
20 games in, right.
I'll give you a couple teams where that can fluctuate on, but we can't give every team.
Right.
The chance to say, this year actually it's not the case.
Yeah, you're right.
Until they start turning things around.
Exactly. Until somebody proves us wrong, that's what we use as far as statistical evidence or a barometer. Correct.
A barometer of what you actually are.
And what you believe, too.
Yes. Rod the Bod Black is going to join us around the table. He's emceeing this gala tonight. We're down at the Royal York at the Special Olympics Limitless Gala. Also, we'll be calling Argos Rough Riders Sunday down at BMO. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050 and, of course, watch it on TSN. So we'll catch up with Rod. We've got Ray coming up, Bobby Mack around the table. A couple of Olympians will join us around the table.
Yeah.
We're having a good time down at the Royal York and at the Special Olympics Limitless Gala. Overdrive continues on the TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday, which, of course, happens to be today. Call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the red-hot Arizona Coyotes November 20th down at the ACC. And the theme this week is former Leafs who played for a relocated team. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Gary Roberts. Gary Roberts. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. First one in with all five players named. You're going to see the Leafs take on the Coyotes November 20th down at the ACC. We are live at the Royal York. It is the Special Olympics Limitless Gala tonight, and one of the co-MCs, a legend himself.
One of our favorites.
One of our favorites, Rod Black, joining us.
I'm actually the valet here this week, so I got your cars. You guys all got your cars.
Perfect.
That's all I do. I just park cars.
How many of these events do you do annually?
Ooh. Like this one? Quite a few. I have a probably a bad habit. I never say no. I probably should say no a few times. I probably have a life, but I can't say no to something like this. It's a great cause. O-Dog, you were here last year. You see a night like this, it's magic. It's one of those nights where it's all about the athletes. It's not about the entertainment. It's not about hobnobbing. It is about the after party, though, O-Dog. They're setting up the after party right here behind us.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm probably not going to go.
Oh, really?
What?
Oh, responsible really? Adult on a Friday night.
I got to head up to the chalet tomorrow. I don't want to be in a groggy mood.
You're heading up there. Huh? Do you have cable up there? Are you going to be able to watch the Maple Leaf game?
No, I'd have to go out to watch that.
So you'll belly up somewhere tomorrow night up in Collingwood?
You know it.
They got snow up there?
Not yet.
Not yet.
They had snow like a couple weeks ago, talking to the locals.
Oh, yeah?
It was only for an hour or so, though.
Attaboy.
But we're hoping pretty soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
You shred, don't you? You're a boarder, aren't you?
You got it, buddy.
Oh, man.
You've talked about this before. You're a big skier, aren't you, Rod?
I wouldn't say big. I like skiing.
Okay.
I used to ski tons up at Collingwood a lot when I first met my wife. We were up there a lot, but then we started having kids, and now we don't. But I love to ski. I love it. It's a real good family thing. And the only thing is, and you would attest, you would all attest to this, is hockey and skiing do not mix. And so you probably got caught up later in life. You when I played hockey when I was a kid, you never went to the hills.
Right. I didn't learn to
ski. And hockey players are terrible skiers.
I can remember going on like the school trips. If you had a hockey game that night, you weren't allowed to go on skiing because you'd be too tired. You got to take the bus back. You'd be late for the hockey game. And it was so awful because you never get to ski and you want that opportunity.
Well, there was a guy, I'm sure you guys have talked about it before. I think Salming did it and Hammerstrom when they were here. And I want to say Lanny McDonald did it one day too, is that they would go up and ski actually that day and then play that night, which to me is remarkable.
Wow. Well, you talk about like old school preparing differently for a game. We had Daryl Sittler in with us a couple of years ago. The day of the 10-point game, he didn't take a nap because his wife had something him to do, and he had Swiss Chalet as a pregame. He went to Swiss Chalet
chicken
for the pregame.
Chicken and fries.
And 10 points. And no one's touching that record.
Gretzky had the hot dogs. What, he had 6 hot dogs a day or something like that? I asked him once about it, and he said it was true. And also, here's the other one. I think you guys probably talked about this at one time. On the bench, in his water bottle, Diet Coke.
Really? That I didn't know.
While he played.
I had Diet Coke in between periods, but never.
Yeah, while he played. Isn't that crazy?
Diet Coke has.
There you go. Little known
caffeine
fact.
In it, right? So some people, like I don't drink coffee.
I think Chara did it too. I think Chara used Diet Coke.
Chara, pound of Coke. But there's a lot of, when you drink Coca-Cola, there's potassium in it. So that's what he had cramps. I'll drink a Diet Coke instead of a coffee because there's caffeine in it. But, I never had it in a...
It's really good with a little Appleton rum as well. It really helps a lot.
Try it with ginger ale, Rod.
Rod Black joining us here. We're live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala tonight. You're going to be at BMO on Sunday too, right?
Argos Riders. Yeah, can't wait for that. That's going to be a heck of a game.
I was surprised to see the Argos are favored. Like, they're 3-point favorites, and the Riders got them twice. The Riders are coming in hot. I know the Argos are coming off a bye, but I would have suspected the Riders, at the very least, it would be a pick 'em going into Sunday.
I think, people are really crunching the numbers now, and they're seeing what the Argos are capable of doing. You looked at last week, the way Saskatchewan played in Ottawa, they dismantled the Red Blacks. And that, I think the Red Blacks didn't have enough rhythm. I don't think they played enough in the last few weeks. They had like one game in a month. Mm-hmm. And I know people like rest, and I think the bye helps the Argos, but that's a lot of rest. The Red Blacks did not look anything like the team, and I think the Argos are going to provide a little more resistance, particularly defensively. So you could see a little Brandon Bridge in this game. Here's the other one, though, is that Argos have not had home field advantage all year. If you guys have been to BMO, it hasn't been great.
They have not got great crowds.
They're going to get a great crowd, I really think, on Sunday.
Don't you think a lot of Riders fans are showing up, too, though?
They travel well. That's one thing.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. I guess Babcock said today, after practice, he's going on Sunday, and he's going to be wearing a Riders
Jersey.
He is not.
He is. I support that move, Rod.
He has got onions.
I don't want to see you shilling for the home team. No, absolutely not.
Hey, why not?
I want him to prove he's a true sports fan, and he said it today. He's like, I've always been a Riders fan. I'm from Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to change because I coach here.
I don't mind that him at least saying, like, you know, he's from Saskatchewan, and he's standing up and saying, listen, I've been a fan my whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to change it because I'm getting paid $50 million here to coach the local Toronto team.
Like, right.
He stands by it. I mean, he's going to get chirped if he's in the stands. But those Rider fans, they're gritty as well.
Oh, dude. That's the truth.
There's no bigger fan. Like, no more passionate fan base. I want to say bigger. I will tell you, I will take the Leafs, the Habs, all the great franchises. I would even say, like, the Blue Jays, a Canadian team. If you are a Rider fan in Saskatchewan, you're a fan for life. If you don't have green in your wardrobe and you live in Saskatchewan, you're not from Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Game day, I got to tell you guys, it's a bucket list thing. You go to this new stadium they have there, it's spectacular. It is unbelievable. I would say it's probably like going to a Notre Dame Fighting Irish game or a Green Bay Packers game.
Do they tailgate or they can't either?
No, they tailgate quite a bit there. It starts on Friday, oh dog, and it goes all week. Everybody's in green. The entire province, I would think, but everybody left from the service people in restaurants to the person behind the hotel counter to the guy parking your car, everybody's in green. It's crazy.
That's the way it should be.
Is that the only reason is because they don't have any other pro sports there?
I would think that it's the game in town. Like, they have the Pats and they have the Saskatoon Blades, they have junior hockey, which is big there. But no, it's because that's the game. That's the game.
Rod Black joining us here around the table. The Raptors are in action tonight. The Knicks are in town. And the Knicks have been surprising this year. I mean, they're above 500. Porzingis has become must-see TV. And, you know, there's so much focus on all of these rebuilds throughout the NBA. Boston, if you can call it that, they've always been somewhat competitive, but they've really taken off. They beat Golden State last night. They've won 14 in a row. That was the most impressive win of the year. And people
Houston last night? You see that?
Oh, yeah.
90-something at halftime.
96 points, I believe, they had at halftime. 94, 96
points. Don't
you
love the way the great defense in the NBA?
But that's what you've been around games. Like, that's – what's the equivalent in hockey of that? Like, halfway through, it's 9-0?
Yeah, that would – well –
7-0, 9
Yeah, or
through?
Like after one period, you got like a 7-1 lead or something like that. I would say that – maybe even more. I've never heard of that. And I will tell you, it has a lot to do with the way the game's played. And I'm not a big – some people love the way the game's played with the three-point shot. I'm not the biggest fan. I'm a fan when they hit them. But
some games you watch, it's just run to the three-point line, take a shot, run it back to the –
it's not basketball. That would be like playing hockey, going down, have breakaway. Wait a minute. That would be like the shootout.
Right.
Yes.
If you make the shot, it's basketball. Yeah. I mean, you can't beat it.
It is, and that's when it's beautiful, when Golden State plays it or when they're hitting. But when it's bad and it's Clank City and Brick City – it's bad.
Well, the Raps had a few of those games early in the year because they have been committed to the three, and they just went through Houston and New Orleans and shot 47% both nights from three. So that was pretty to watch, and that was fun to watch, and they put up a ton of points. But earlier in the year when they were throwing bricks up, it was ugly to watch, very ugly to watch. But, you know, the Knicks are one of those teams, like I was saying, like the Leafs have become recently. It's so much better for the NBA if they're a prominent team, and they've been such a joke for so long. And I think they had to get rid of Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. They had to move on from Carmelo Anthony. I think Porzingis is the real deal if he can stay healthy.
So is Frankie.
Absolutely.
I like Frankie.
Talk to LeBron about that. Yeah. But I think I don't think they're a playoff team yet.
I don't think Enes Kanter did the smartest thing in the world.
Calling out LeBron?
Calling out LeBron because that went out. They lost that game because of that. But I do. You know what? I've heard you guys talk about it. It's the way of sports now. It's youth. Get good young talent, as we see here with this hockey team in this city. Good young talent. And if it's really good talent, you're going to make waves.
The sports world has changed so drastically over the past 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Every single sport.
Easily 10 years, but even the last five. I mean, hockey more, but it's just the influx of youth, and we're seeing, I want to just say, I mean, they are. Kids.
They start early.
Arrive a lot quicker now. Like a 23-year-old making any league, kind of a late bloomer as opposed to now. That used to be the norm. I mean, O was ahead of the curve in his career because he played at such a young age. I was kind of the average. I was even ahead of the curve for a goaltender. I played at 22. But now we're seeing guys, 22, that's their third year. Like, it's third, fourth year.
Well, TSN came out with that core 424.
Yeah.
And Matthews is 20, Marner's 20, Nylander's 21.
They could have five or six.
Absolutely. But they're going to be in that core four for another 3 years before they're even pushed out.
Right.
Like, they're not 24 for another 4 years.
You know, it's and I really lived it with my kids, the change, because you see high impact, high performance sport at a young age. When you get your kid involved in sport now,
right.
You know, they go. It's off-field conditioning, off-ice conditioning at a young age. At 8, 9, and 10, they're not even pros yet.
Right.
So what's happening is that those kids are becoming such individual sport athletes. The days in a bio, I'm sure, Odog, you didn't. Were just weren't a hockey player growing up.
My dad made us play soccer and baseball every summer.
Don't you guys, when you look at the media guides, you see, isn't it like neat to see, okay, such and such, Jeff O'Neill played such and such, such and such.
Right.
LeBron James was a two-sport athlete. I can guarantee you in 5 years, you will never see that in any bios because the kids are now being told at 14, 15, who can play two sports or three sports,
right.
And they should.
It's earlier.
But they're playing one, and because they're going 24-7.
Forget about 14 years old. I'm talking 10 years old.
Agreed.
I want to play in the NHL. Yep. This is what you're going to have to
do. I have a buddy.
You got a trainer. You got a fitness guy. You got a diet guy. A 10. 100%.
And do you know what it does? You know what? And here's the other one, which is unfortunate. It costs money.
Well,
it costs a lot of money.
I talked to a guy the other day that said, if you're not rich,
you can't make it.
No.
So
you can't afford all the other garbage.
Yeah, and that is the saddest thing. And there are some sports that you could, let's say soccer or basketball, those sports that you could practice individually, maybe even tennis. But the next low-income athlete, probably in North America, to become a sports star will never be seen again because I just don't think they can make it unless they were sponsored because you can catch up. Saying you're 10 and you're playing a sport, and you're by far better than anybody else. But saying there's a guy on his team, the parents got lots of money, they can give them skills.
Right.
Because you can get skating skill now. You got to go get all those lessons.
Right.
You may not become that player, but you're going to get closer.
Yeah.
So it's good seeing the young kids, what they're doing in pro sports, but what is the sacrifice?
It's all money. I have a buddy who's got a 9-year-old son who's a goalie. And he called me the other day and said, asked about a goaltender's camp for 6 weeks. It was $6,500 in March. And he goes, do you think I should join? I said, take your family to Disneyland and play catch with the kid outside. The guy's 9, and he wants him to have that type of specialized.
But I guarantee you, he ain't going to Disneyland and playing catch with his kid.
Well,
because everybody loves their kid, and they want.
You know
their
what
kid
he, you're right.
Yeah.
You know what he did?
Yeah.
He signed up for it.
Yeah, for sure. I knew he did.
And at what cost, though? Like later, what if they don't make it? What if it doesn't go the right way?
Yeah.
And then, so you know, how does that affect the kid? How does that affect the parents? And here's the other one: how much money does it cost in the grand scheme of things?
Well, yeah. I think the price of everything is ridiculous, Rod. But is there any kind of responsibility, like Hockey Canada, to kind of seek out the kids?
Thank you. Like, I think not just Hockey Canada, but I think all the hockey organizations.
Like, to seek out the kid and just say, we're missing an opportunity for our country to have this kid a part of it. I mean, is that fair or unfair? Is it the right thing to do?
They have the assist program now, and I think that they are trying that, and it's working. And, hey, there are kids that are coming from rural areas.
It'll be the next summit. Whenever Canada sucks at a World Juniors or the Olympics, they're going to say, you know what? This is the problem. Because Canada's going to finish last 1 year, and the next summit's going to be, you know why we were bad? Because it starts with the youth, and the young kids can't afford, the good ones can't afford to play.
Well, also prep. I'm sure you guys are all up on prep. And how I never heard about prep until, like, the last 5-6 years, and now everybody's doing prep. For other sports.
I didn't know about prep until I started doing this show, and I have to prep a lot.
Yes, you're prep dynamo over here.
But, you know, I'm talking about prep schools or victory laps. Mm-hmm. There were victory laps meant something else to me when I was growing up.
Right.
But now you're hearing about this so they can actually get the kid, that boy or girl, into a better situation for their next step. Which could be an education, but I would hope it's an education. The greatest thing about all of this we're talking about, as bad as it sounds, there's a great opportunity for kids to get a secondary education in Canada via, Canadian Hockey League. Playing one game, you get a year of school.
And that's something that the CHL, they promote. I don't think they promote enough.
I agree.
Because I know when I went to the OHL, I wasn't aware of that, and that was a part of the sales pitch. Not that I was going to college. I mean, I didn't have that opportunity, but they were like, you know, we're paying. It's like, back when I was playing, it was like, basically every year you played, it was like $7,000-$8,000 that contributed to your future education. And that's a lot of money, you know, and that's significant. But you're also dealing with something when you've got families with multiple kids, is the family dynamics can be really thrown out of whack. If all of the attention and all of the money is going to one kid, you know, that can have a psychological effect on the other kids.
For sure.
You know, it's like, why is Billy getting all of this and I'm over here just because I'm not into sports? I can't do what I want to do because all the money's going to him
her. I will never forget, at one of these functions, I was sitting with Marcus and Damon Allen's father. And I'm a young dad, like my kids are young, and I kind of wanted to pick his brain for advice. I mean, his sons are in Football Hall of Fames. He's got a daughter who did very well, their whole family. And I was kind of wondering. And so I said, well, you know, do you have any advice? And I thought these were very good words of advice. He said, I never treat any one of my kids better than the other. That was one rule that he had. I never would make them do something that I couldn't do, which I thought was really good advice. And he said, I treat them like gas tanks. And I'm going, what? What do you mean? Every day, they start the day on empty, and I've got to fill them up with love. And I thought, you know what? Here's a dad, and I know it may sound a little like, you know, corny or cheesy, but I thought being a dad, that is exactly what you want to do. You don't want to treat one more than the other. You don't want to give one. If you got a big family, you don't want your one kid to get, let's say, AAA grade for hockey or a double A for another. You want to push them all. And that's the thing that we are all into, is we all want to do great things for our kids. Yeah. That's what I will tell you. That's why I love the Special Olympics. All that stuff, that negative stuff that we have around sport right now, there's none of that around the Special Olympics.
Well, and you're going to feel it tonight. He is Rod Black. He's co-emceeing tonight with Jennifer Hedger here at the Royal York Hotel at the Special Olympics Limitless Gala. And we're looking forward to it tonight.
Limitless is my tab for you tonight. Oh, dog, you can have whatever you want in the after party. Limitless.
Wow.
Limitless. You can go because it's free booze.
That sounds like a challenge.
Only if you join me, Rod.
I'm in. I mean, tonight, because it's actually not a school night tonight. Tomorrow night's a school night because the game on. I will be there.
All right, man. Enjoy it tonight, Rod. Thanks for doing
this,
buddy.
Thanks for being. I love listening to you guys. Love being with you. I'll park your car when I'm done.
Yes, please do. There's Rod Black. He'll be, again, calling the game on Sunday. Argos at home down at BMO Field taking on the Riders. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Don't forget, we are inviting everyone to TSN 1050's Maple Leaf versus Oilers party December 10th down at the Pint. Bring out your friends and cheer on the Leafs as they face off against McDavid and the Oilers. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who will have a shot at leaving the Pint with Leaf tickets and a trip for two to Vegas for the Leafs versus Golden Knights New Year's Eve matchup. You can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and Overdrive every weekday before the big party. Again, that's December 10th down at the Pint. So we know the way this works. We've been doing it all week. Mullen's going to hit the really cheesy, really corny roulette music. Hit it, Mullins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hit the button here, and we'll let you know who's calling in and which number we're looking for. It's Black 8. Black 8. So caller 8 at 416-870-1050. Caller 8 at 416-870-1050 picks up a VIP ticket to hang out with the TSN 1050 crew down at the Pint December 10th.
Pretty cool tweet from Darren Rovell. We like a grit grinder. This is his tweet. Tried out for the Astros, asked not to come back, came back. Are you sure? ? I just want to get a chance, he said. Signed for $15,000, played 7 years in Major League Baseball, won World Series, named League MVP, Jose Altuve, a true case study in grit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, was told not to come back. He could have easily gone back and started his life. And
that was a perfect example, I'm sure, of don't judge a book by its cover. I'll bet you he walked in. He's from Venezuela.
He's 4 feet
the
tall, too.
That's what I'll bet you he walked in, and the scout said, you're wasting my time. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think you're actually going to make it to the majors? And lucky for that scout, I'll bet you he's now trying to change the story. Like, no, I saw the talent right away. I was pleading with him.
We always knew.
We always knew this guy would turn into an MVP. But that's a great story.
It is.
What a year for him. World Series, MVP.
What's his contract status? Do you know? Imagine if he was up.
No, I think he's locked in for a couple of years, and it's not at the biggest cake either. Once he does come up, if he continues at this pace, Altuve is going to get paid. You better believe it. That's
How
a great story,
he,
though. He's 27 now, I think, give or take. Yeah. Like, he's mid-20s.
I thought he was older. I thought he was one of those, like, late Marty St. Louis bloomers type of thing. Marty St. Louis, the same thing.
Yep.
Marty St. Louis was with the Calgary Flames.
You guys gave him away.
Sent him down.
See you later.
He was in the minors.
Right. Want a heart?
Pretty good player.
I think he's probably going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We're live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala tonight. Ray Ferraro is going to join us. A couple of former Olympians will join us. Pinball Clemens in the house later this evening. We're looking forward to it. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.